Welcome to our call today. This is Becky Spieth, the Christian Direct Seller and Direct Sales Specialist, and I just want to open today's call in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your time, your love, your mercy, your grace, your providing a way for us to be in covenant with you, your sacrifice, your love. There's just so many things, Lord, that I'm overwhelmed with your amazing awesomeness. It's just so incredible. Thank you especially for your love. We wouldn't even know how to breathe or love. We would not be created if it weren't for you. So, Father God, we give you glory for every single thing. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you will touch the hearts of people as I speak today and share my story. And Lord, I pray that you will give me supernatural wisdom and direction in which way to speak and the words to say. Speak through me. Give me supernatural recall of your word and your scripture. And Lord, I pray that you will help our hearts to hear what you would have us to hear and receive, Lord, what you would have for us to receive. We love you and we thank you, and I give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're talking about a witch story, and did I decide to tell the story because it's just a couple weeks before Halloween? No. The Lord just laid this on my heart to share, and I think that it will touch your heart, and I hope it will give you encouragement as well as boldness as we go through the story. I'm going to just tell you real briefly a little bit about my testimony and how a witch's story plays into part with this. When I was 30, I nearly died several times, and that's kind of how I found my direct selling company. My brother's house burnt down shortly thereafter, and the Lord spared my life on a hospital bed before my brother's house burnt down. But I knew that if he spared my life, that he had a call and a purpose for me more succinctly than I had ever felt in my entire life. And I didn't want to waste one moment. And during my recovery process is when my brother's house burnt down. And I was helping, you know, with some of the charity work and trying to help them get back on their feet again. They were a young couple. They had young kids and two young babies. And that's how I found direct selling. And I didn't really realize at that point what an integral part of my life that was to find direct selling. And I found it, honestly, by someone leaving a catalog on a table at a restaurant. And so, you know, the smallest things can make the biggest difference, and God can use absolutely anything. He promises us in Isaiah that he will take our ashes and turn them into beauty. And literally, he was taking ashes and turning them into beauty. And so I started with my direct selling company. Had no clue what I was doing. I mean, I was really the worst consultant ever. I didn't know that you even made money in direct selling. I didn't know how to do a presentation. We didn't really have much training from my company at that point. I really had no clue what I was doing. And then I started getting a glimpse of what it was supposed to look like. And I went to a training, and they showed how to actually do a party instead of just bringing a box full of stuff, leaving it at the front door, and then going and sitting in the kitchen with the hostess and hanging out. And I was really still at this point seeking what the call was that was on my life. And it was before the holidays, my first year in the business. A little bit later in the year, I think, than this, maybe in around November, end of November. I think it was a little bit before Thanksgiving, like maybe the week before Thanksgiving. And I went to do a party. And at this point, we were a young company, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but a lot of young companies have fulfillment issues. They grow faster than what they thought they would grow, and sometimes things get backordered or they go out of stock. And I had this figurine. It was called the Angel in God's Hands, and it was just a little figurine. It was porcelain. It was white, and it had, like, open hands, like cupping open hands, and then it, sitting inside of the hands was a little angel. And I had, like, one of the only ones left. And I was at a party, and I had someone in the group ask, do you have anything with angels? And I said, as a matter of fact, I have this one, but it's on back order. But if you'd like to see it, I'd be happy to show it to you. I said, I'm delivering it tomorrow. And I brought it out, and I showed it to the group, and they thought it was the cutest things. It was one of our best sellers. And I think it was only, like, $9. It wasn't very expensive. And so there were several people that wanted it, and I said, you know, that I'd be happy to put it on the back order list, but just so you know, we won't have it before the holidays. And this one, unfortunately, I can't give to you because it's owed out. I'm going to be delivering it tomorrow. And when we got to the cash out table, there had been this woman who everyone, when she would talk, everyone would be quiet. And she seemed to be like the leader in this group, or people just really revered her. But she wasn't very warm, which I thought was kind of strange. There was just something that we just didn't seem to have a super warm connection. You know, like some people at your parties, you just know you are totally connected and on the same page. And then there are those others that just seem to be a little more aloof. And so we got to the cash out table, and she said, I want to take the angel in God's hands. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Maybe you didn't hear what I had mentioned, but I can't give it to you. And I went through the whole thing. And she said, evidently, you don't know who I am. And I said, well, and I looked at her name again and on her order form, and I said, you know, you're Cindy, and I won't reveal her last name to you. And she said, yes, you don't know who I am. And I said, oh, okay. I said, so I'm really sorry, but regardless, I can't give you this. Is there something else I can give you, or can I get, you know, put you to be one of the first on the waiting list? And she said to me in a gravelly, hateful, mean voice, she said, you have no idea what you're doing here. She said, I am a high priestess in Wicca. And she said, I'm putting a curse on you and your business. You'd better watch out. Instantly, my heart just flung out some words, and I couldn't even believe they were coming out of my mouth. It was like it wasn't even me. It was like as if it was just God speaking in and through me. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but it's amazing. And instantly, I said, well, that's okay, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and I just want you to know that I love you. I thought, what am I saying? Because I could hear the words coming out of my mouth, but I definitely would not have thought to say that. And I was, you know, kind of surprised that someone would say that. I wasn't in the practice of hanging out with witches. I wasn't in the practice of that. I was a Christian, and I was very involved in my Christian life. I had been a Christian since I was in first grade. I've always been raised in a Christian home. How could this be happening to me, right? But I can tell you, there was such a peace that was over my life at that moment that I didn't lose my peace at all. And I had no fear. About when we went about our business, we finished packing up, and my husband actually had dropped me off at the party and came back to pick me up, and we had the kids there and things, and I told him about what had happened on the way home, and he was very upset, like any good husband would be, right, wanting to protect his wife and his children. And I said, you know, I'm not really even nervous about this. I just thought it was just really strange and bizarre. Well, the next morning, we decided that we were going to drive into Walmart and go shopping, because that was our big shopping. That was the only shopping we had. And so I had the kids in the car, and I picked my mom up, and we were actually in our van, and driving up to Walmart, and I put on the radio, and we had farm radio back then. Our local radio station was an AM station, and we lived in a really, really rural area. And as we were driving in, they were putting up the news about what was happening in the community. And I heard this woman's name. And they said that her house had burnt down and that her two grandchildren were in critical condition in the hospital from smoke inhalation. And my heart sunk. Now, my son at the time, my oldest son, he was very young, but he had recently been diagnosed with autism, and he remembered how traumatic it was that my brother's house had burnt down, and how my nephews, the important things to them were underwear and toothbrushes and Jesus books. And Jordan asked me, he said, Mom, and we had hardly anything at this point, I just want you to know, we were in a trailer that, you know, the reason why I found Home and Garden Party and I wanted to be involved with them was because I had finally been able to paint the 7 different types of paneling that were in my living room in my trailer, and I wanted dishes to match the wallpaper border I put in my kitchen to try to, you know, cover up some of the ugliness in this trailer. And it was old, and we didn't have proper windows, and we didn't have floors. We had just We finally had electricity run to the trailer. I mean, it was like, it was bad. We didn't hardly have anything. And Jordan said, "Mom, can we go and buy the boys? Can I buy these boys a Jesus book, some underwear, and a toothbrush?" And he wanted to use all of his money that he had, which was very little. So we did. We went, and it just seemed right to me. So we went, and we put together a care package for the boys, and we drove over to Cindy's house that night. And when we got there, there were a few cars there. And my husband, of course, wanted to drive me. He says, "I can't believe you want to do this. This is crazy." I'm like, "I just feel like the Lord wants me to do this and show her that we love her. And, I mean, don't you remember what it was like for Kenny and his family?" And it was just awful. And so we went to her house. I knocked on the door, and she didn't come to the door. She was upstairs with some friends. But a lady that had been at the party was there, and she invited me in. And I said, "Well, I don't want to take, you know, Cindy's time." But what had happened, it wasn't actually her home that burnt down, but it was on her property. It was the older home. She had put up a new double wide on the property. It was her older home, and it was the one she was renting out to her son, and her two grandchildren were inside, and it was burned to the ground. But I went to the door, and I knocked. They let me up to see Cindy. I walked upstairs, and I had the two big totes, and they were filled with toys and Jesus books and just little things for the boys. And I said, "Cindy, I brought you something, and I just wanted you to know that we do really love you and that we're praying for you. And if there's anything that we can do, please let us know." She looked at me like I had five heads on, like I was the craziest person ever. And then instantly she started weeping. She said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Because Jesus is inside my heart, and he loves you, and he wants you to know that he loves you and that we love you because Jesus loves you." And she sat down, and she said, "I want you to tell me more." At that moment, I was able to lead her and several of her friends to the Lord. She left Wicca, which is very hard to do when you are that influential and that high up. She became an incredible prayer partner. I saw her life transform bit by bit, bit by bit, and then see her use her influence to win others for Jesus. It was so impactful for me, and I knew as soon as I walked out the door, my husband was very nervous because he didn't come inside, and I wasn't coming outside, and he said, you know, he was with the babies in my car and nervous, and he was wondering what was going on, but he was praying the whole time. But I thought, what if I would not have been willing to be the vessel for the Lord? He used me. It had nothing to do with me. But I was willing to listen, and I was willing to obey. And her life was spared. She became an amazing Christian. She became one of my best hostesses, a great friend. And she became an incredible soldier for the Lord. I want to point out a few things about the story that I shared with you. I've told this story a few times and had several people say, "Well, weren't you nervous about the curse? So, you know, she put a curse on you." And I can say, honestly, I wasn't. And I've talked to several people that have left Wicca. And what they have told me is that their curses have no power. They know not to curse a believer because it's a boomerang curse. It comes back onto them. So they know not to curse a Christian because they don't want to be cursed with the same curse. And so know that the cursing has no power over a believer. I had several people when they saw the post last night that this was going to be the story that they said, "Oh, aren't you scared?" And, you know, "Oh, I wouldn't do that. I would be so scared if I met someone that was involved in Wicca." They're just a person. Jesus came and died. God sent his son for every person. And the curse has no power over a believer. It tells us in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from all the self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree"? That's what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at that time dissolved the curse. We don't have a curse. The curses are null and void in us. And now because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We're under the blood covenant. We are all able to receive God's life, his spirit, in and with us by believing. just the way that Abraham received it. So we don't have any curse. It has no effect over us. However, listen to me very carefully. We allow the enemy in when we are grasping fear, or we're accepting fear, or we're believing fear. So that's what they try to do, is they try to fear. They know that they can cause fear, and fear opens the door to the enemy, because fear is the opposite of faith. God can't work in our life unless we're in faith. And so we need to guard ourselves of fear. So if you hear of a curse, or you're fearful of something, I want you to just lay that, or rebuke that, lay that over to the Lord, and fill yourself with faith. How do we get filled with faith? By hearing the word of God. Now, I can tell you witchcraft is all around us. So you're thinking, oh, well, how scary for you to be in that situation. Witchcraft's all around us, and it's probably in your own home. And it may even be in your own heart. How can I say this? Well, it has to get removed from our lives, and it has to get removed from our homes. But think about it. A witch doesn't necessarily have to have a big black pointy hat and a green nose with a ward on it, right? However, we do have some of that in our home. If you've got Harry Potter, if you've got vampirism, if you've got video games, movies, something about zombies, think about the television you allow into your home, which you watch with your eyes, which is your window to your soul. Think about the movies that you watch. Think about the books that you've got on your shelf. Maybe you need to go and clean house. I mean, I encourage you, now's the time to do that. And in 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. Ouch! That got me as well. Let me ask you, have you been called to love the unlovable? Have you been called to share and minister in the marketplace, and yet you refuse to make the phone calls? You refuse to connect with the people? You refuse to pray? You refuse to smile or just say I love you to someone, or care about them, touch them gently on the arm or the shoulder, listen to their story? Are you rebelling? We need to stop playing church. We need to fulfill our call. We need to minister in the marketplace and not be rebellious. We need to love like Christ did. Where was most of his ministry taking place? It was in the marketplace. Where did he find the fishermen to become disciples? Why were there stories and parables? Because he was out in the marketplace. He was out and about doing his business, yet doing the Father's business, sharing the gospel. We're told to share the gospel, baptize, and further the kingdom. I want you to ask yourself, who's waiting for you? Who's waiting for you, but you won't pick up the phone? You won't go and do the party. I don't like parties. You won't go do the vendor event. You won't go out prospecting. You won't go out and serve. You won't make the customer care call and discover what's really going on in that person's life and offer to pray. Who's waiting for you? Who's your Cindy? You know, the word's been really laying on my heart, Isaiah 61:1-3, so I'm going to share that with you. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He sent me to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and the eyes of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn, to give them an ornament, a garland or a diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burden and a failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and a right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The seeds you plant in your business are the mighty oaks that he's calling, but they're waiting for you. It tells us in Joshua 24:14-15, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the Euphrates River in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. Which gods? the gods which your father served on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I hope this has been encouraging to you, and I want to encourage you to serve the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to take someone that looks like they're in a heap of ashes. Create the beauty inside of them. Disciple them. Share the gospel. Pray for them. Just share what the Lord's told you that he's called you for, just like he's called me. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer today. And one of the things I'm going to do, because I just know how vitally, vitally important it is I want to share a prayer about the best decision I've ever made with you. So if this is for you, or maybe you want to share this with someone else, the best decision I ever made, and I know that Cindy ever made, was to invite Jesus into my heart to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for spending the time with me. Thank you for joining me in this prayer time. Father God, I'm so thankful that Holy Spirit pursued me so that I could know Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that whomever's hearing this, that they pursue you, they seek you. Because we know that no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit actually seeks him out and pulls him. But yet you want all of us to be saved. Help us to have those ears to hear. Lord, we know that there are people searching for peace, confidence, solution for their money issues, maybe to have more power or control over what's happening in their circumstances of their life. Lord, maybe there's someone that's listening that feel like they were meant and intended to be more than what they're currently living. More of what they were really created for, but they're just not sure where to find that. Maybe they're just crying out because they're hurting and they just want love. Lord, thank you that today you've given us good news. And you can help others make the best decision that they could ever make. Lord, I thank you that you bless us abundantly, that you give us positive energy and mental attitude, that you give us abundance in all areas of our lives. And Lord, I thank you most of all for your love. I thank you for what you've given us. And dear Father in heaven, I want to thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place. Thank you for dying. We know that you died for the sins that I committed. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Thank you. Come into my heart, save my life, and I declare that you are my Savior, that you are my Lord. You're not my ticket just out of hell. You are my everything. You are my Lord. I will live for you with all of my heart until I see you face to face. Thank you for saving me. And because I've made Jesus my Lord and Savior, I know I'm bound for heaven and that God is my Father and Satan is a liar. Thank you for saving me, forgiving me, and accepting me just as I am. Thank you for your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. And Father God, I do want to praise you for Aaron's health, for the peace that goes beyond understanding, for the amazing business that's taking place in all of our businesses, Lord, that favor is going out before us, that we do not have to live in fear because you tell us in your word that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's where that peace comes from, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. And we love you, Father God. We thank you. And we commit today anew and afresh. We ask, Lord, that you would remove the rebellion that's in our hearts. Help us to have that fire to serve you. Lord, bring souls into our life. Help us to see with your eyes and hear with your ears to find those people that we can minister to and make a difference this week and every week moving forward. Help us to see who's waiting for you and how you want to use us to bring them to you. We love you, and we ask forgiveness for our rebellion, for not being as fervent in our business as we should have, for allowing fear to overtake us. And we want to praise and thank you that no curse can come against us, but that you've given us love, power, and a sound mind, that you want to bless us abundantly, and you want to work in and through us so that we can give you praise because you are doing more for us than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. We love you, Father God, and we praise you. We thank you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that this story was one that touched your heart. I know that this is the story that changed my life forever. I knew that this was my call. This is what God put me on the planet to do. And I just need to find ways that I can share this with more and more people and share God's love and his goodness with others and to grow this exponentially. But it comes from loving one person at a time, showing them how the Lord wants to take their ashes and give them beauty, and that he truly loves them. I hope it's touched your heart, and I will talk with you guys again next week. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.